them all.
There's no one but you.
Nah, no one but me.
There many mommy who say me who wanna me feel it more.
There many mommy who na me who wanna me feel it more.
Oh,
my baby.
Oh, my
baby. Come and we trap ya. Oh, yeah, my whole family.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Chick Chat Live. I have some lovely guests in the studio with me ready to chop it up. On the first segment of the show, we are talking about your work versus your private life. And on the second segment, we are judging the matter. Would you call somebody who was your age uncle, even if it was your mother-in-law that asked you? With me today, I have Vimbai Mutinihi. Did I get that right? Vimbai Mutinihi.
You left out the last re. Mutinihi.
Okay, let me start. With me today, I have Vimbai Mutinihi.
Right? Give me my re.
You know, give me your re. Host and executive producer, welcome and thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
I have TV personality and actress Eku Edewa.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Snapback queen.
Thank you.
And of course, filmmaker and producer Bemi Phillips. I love the hair, girl. Well, thank you guys for joining me. So let's just like jump straight into it. So I've been thinking about this work-life balance thing. There's just so much going on. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about social media for the last like 6 weeks. And there's so much going on social media. And I was talking to somebody and they actually called me dry. They're like, you're one of the driest personalities that we know. And I said, well, Zaya, you don't give us anything. I thought, I think I give enough. I mean, I think it should be work-related. But I mean, what more do you want to know? And I don't even know if you have a boyfriend. So I was like, whose business is that? Mm-hmm. So it kind of got me thinking about, you know, because social media has become so crazy these days, where do you kind of draw that healthy boundary line with, you know, your work and your private life? So much going on with Tiwa, Tonto, Toke, all of them. You know, everything is like out there these days. So I guess I'll start with you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No need to even ask you, are you guarded? I think it's fairly obvious that you separate your private life from your work life. Do you think that helps you, like being circumspect about, you know, your personal life? Do you think that at some point that may no longer work, given the industry?
Well, I think that there should always be a line, but I think it's a personal choice. Mm-hmm. It depends how much you can handle and how much you want to share. You know, I always use someone like, okay, Giselle, for example. She's mm-hmm. still like the biggest
model?
I think the highest paid supermodel. Mm-hmm. And we don't see her every day. We don't see her kids splattered everywhere. Mm-hmm. She likes to try and draw a line between her husband and her kids, even though he's super famous as well. I'm not comparing myself to her because obviously she's a global superstar, but then mm-hmm. we still get a sense of her work mm-hmm. all the time. And she doesn't share so much, and she's still the highest paid supermodel mm-hmm. compared to other supermodels that are splattered everywhere mm-hmm. and feeling like they need to jump around or dance or show that, you know, who they're dating or not dating. So I think that, you know, you should always let your work speak for itself. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're giving valuable work to an audience, then they'll always want something from you. Mm-hmm. If you're not giving
how far do you think talent can take you in such a crowded market?
I think it should take you all the way. Mm-hmm. I think because I think empty barrels are the loudest. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you don't have the goods to back it up, mm-hmm. then when, you know, that shouting, you know, once you stop shouting, people forget you because
mm-hmm.
they're not actually remembering you for anything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
you have to keep it up.
Yeah. You know, exactly. So some of your job is now catering to the expectations of the public.
Yeah.
It's not actually catering to your job.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's like, all right, so today we haven't seen any drama from you. Next, who else can bring us drama?
Yeah.
And then it becomes like an endless cycle of having to spill your guts.
And feed this
machine. And the thing is, and all that stuff affects you. I know that I like that separation because I value my private life.
Mm-hmm.
I value being able to just be a mom, a girlfriend, a partner, a
mm-hmm.
friend, a sister, without feeling like I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I like to be off.
Oh,
I like
to
let go and not feel like, you know, someone's watching.
Let me pass it over to you. Seeing that both of you are actually in the same direct field. Are you cautiously guarded or intentionally guarded, or do you feel like there's some parts of you that you want to share? How's that worked for you?
I think I'm intentionally guarded,
mm-hmm.
and for me that's the same as I choose what I want to share, right? And I've got a deep philosophy about this. Like, I've thought this
through. Okay, spill, spill,
And I call it this, the Beyonce versus the Ciara, right? So Beyonce decides what she wants us to know. But ultimately, when you think Beyonce, you think about her craft and her legacy and what she... You think about her slayage and that's Beyonce, you know what I mean? And then when you think about Ciara, I love her. I love both of them, by the way. But we currently can't really define what Ciara does for a living. But we know all the details of her life. We're probably going to be in the labor room with her when she gives birth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of sustaining the fact that her music is, you know, going through a process at the moment. Everything about her is going through a process at the moment. I think that's a job in itself. Selling your private life or being that brand for me is a job in itself. It's just not a job that I want. But I'm totally about ladies who are gentlemen.
But given, so let me speak for what maybe somebody watching would, would probably say. Given that you're a public figure, you've put yourself out there at the point where you're on camera. People don't expect that you would be so tight-lipped about what they think they know. So why shouldn't they know whether you have a boyfriend? You know what I mean?
So here's my thing, right? It's not like I'm tight-lipped on camera or generally this is how I am as a human being. Like if my mom wants to know if I'm dating someone, she has to like pry it out of me. So this is just me. You know what I mean? And then you do get to stages in your career. Like at the moment, I'm at a stage in my career where I feel like my work has spoken a lot for itself, but there's... you know, other people who are looking at me and wondering, how have I done it? How do I do what I do? So I am going to start sharing little elements of my life because it's now part of my greater purpose. Not necessarily my boyfriend, not necessarily, you know, the other sordid details you may or may not want to know about my life. You know what I mean? But definitely some life experiences and so forth that,
still within your control, like, obviously.
I also have thousands and thousands of dollars to pay for security 24/7.
Exactly. It's a lot.
You know, yeah, exactly. When everybody knows where, which is probably why Beyonce ain't giving her snap.
Yo, guys, do you know how crazy it is to get Google alerts? Do you know what I mean? You know when you get Google alerts and you just like...
I don't have that. It's too much. It's too any little thing is like, I'm like, nah.
So now imagine your private life is... not out there. And still when you get a Google alert, you're like, okay, what did they say? Now imagine everything is out there. Your Google alerts are going, half of them are insults. The other half, I mean,
it's
not
too much
for me. Like I said, I have full respect for the ladies who've chosen or the people, ladies and gentlemen, who've chosen to take that route and say, well, you know what? My life is a great story. Buy into it. Let me make some money from it. I think wonderful.
So let's sort of step out of the celebrity wanting to know a life. Let's kind of take it back to, like, you know, when you were working a 9-to-5 and sort of separating your private life from co-workers, because you spend quite a number of time, a length of time with people at work. How do you sort of draw those boundary lines? Because especially in Nigeria, we have no boundaries whatsoever. And people actually get offended when you try to set that boundary line or enforce the boundary. How have you sort of, how prepared are you for violations?
Well, for me, it's pretty simple. With me, I set my boundary. That's it. I wouldn't be over with you if first of all, I went to work. I took time out from being a director and I went to work 9-to-5 doing content development. Most of them, they knew me, but I didn't come off as that whole I'm Bamie Phillips, know who I am, I'm in the room. So I wouldn't give off that impression of you wanting to know so much about me.
So you do have a fence.
I'm not very approachable, and I like that because it allows you to just not come and ask me questions I probably don't want to answer. Because at that time, and I had that job, I had some little thing on the internet, so people wanted to know, so I knew that I had to put up this face so I don't have to answer questions to people that don't really deserve an explanation. Why am I explaining my life to you? So for me...
So you have a body language guard first.
It's on guard. It's on guard.
And you own it.
RBS.
Okay. So people would probably take that offensively and label you with, you know the words that they're going to use. She has attitude or she, you know...
If I can keep my information to myself by you thinking that I'm a... snobby, and then so be it. You know, because this information, I'm not sure what it's going to do for you. Is it going to give you more money? It's not going to do that. So what it's going to do is affect me, the fact that I'm giving you too much anyway. I'm just going to take this and take it somewhere else and speak about it in a manner I probably haven't told you. So I'm just not about that. So I'd rather just not speak at all.
If I go running, I just love to go running.
Because it's part of...
I don't want to have to explain to you that it is running that makes me not want to do what you're asking me to do on a Saturday. So how do you sort of establish that from... Do you start that from the beginning? What? Or have you been caught in some murky situations?
I think that, like I said, that you should choose... wisely what you put out there. You should, first of all, I don't think you and your boss should be following each other. I think you should definitely be on a private account if you work in an environment which means that you have to keep this very professional distance between your boss and yourself. And you know, so if your job is not to be an Instagram queen, then be an Instagram queen for your private 20 people or something, you know. So I think you need to create distance lines. You know, people are gonna watch this and be like, oh, but you on the cover with your child, you know, this kind of thing. You know, why did you decide to do that? I was like, well, I actually chose to have her not shown, but I also wanted
to. Was that intentional?
It was intentional because I also think that she is a human being that has a choice to her privacy as well. Yeah. So when she's older, if she decides that she wants to be seen, and if she's like, you know, then...
She's about that life.
If she's about that life, and she's old enough to make that choice, then maybe, you know, maybe I'll be like, no, this business is not for you. No, maybe not.
So you don't feel that people should... promote
it. No, it's a choice. I feel uncomfortable because the choices I want for my child are different from what someone wants for their child, or how they feel about their privacy is different from how I feel about mine.
And you're giving her that choice,
you know. You give that person that choice, and at the same time, you know, I'm not saying I'm a sharing person, but I'm not saying I choose when I give you the information that I want to give you. You cannot demand it of me.
Speaking of that,
I don't want to give you anything.
I'm going to come back to you, but let me come back to you.
Yeah.
You're saying, let me piggyback on that.
Okay.
Don't demand it of me.
Yeah.
So let's use Tiwa Savage, and I want her to rest with this thing, but there was a situation that happened that she needed to respond to almost immediately because I think her fans were demanding it of her. Well, she didn't have to, quite honestly, but the way in which you did, I think, is more important than responding, because I can understand how she felt the need to respond. How can you speak to that? Can you speak to feeling the pressure to say something when you either have to defend yourself, when your privacy has even maybe been violated? Because I think in this situation, she didn't really bring it upon herself. I think that she had to answer to the public. How do you speak to that? Because, I mean, that's why there's PR.
It's a major thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important for any public brand whatsoever, from an individual to an artist to corporates.
Mm-hmm.
Crisis management is one of the biggest things, because it can make or break any brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You could be Coca-Cola, do you know what I mean? It could destroy you. So how you handle your hard times, or, you know, the times where there's questions around your brand that could then affect your work, because it was getting to a point where, you know, is it going to affect my endorsements? Am I not going to get bookings anymore because of this? Then you need to stand up for yourself and make sure you clear the air. And I think there's so many different strategies. She chose that strategy. Is it the best one? Was it not the best? I don't know. You know, I there's so many other strategies she could have used, right? But she had to speak up. No matter what, she had to speak up to protect her brand. Because if she didn't protect herself, then unfortunately, that's a way of her agreeing and accepting that, in fact, what's out there about me is
so. You
is
think
true.
Silence sometimes is confirming a rumor. If somebody chooses to be mum about it, do you think that you can share without sort of damaging the other person's reputation?
No.
So there are more people around you than you. You know what I mean? That are affected by your
feel
life.
Like you, they have all these, they have a followership, and they have women that and girls that would do what they do, follow their footsteps, and, you know, and for me, if I'm going to go into a marriage, for me, marriage is a very sacred thing, and I'm a strong believer of vows. I believe if you say those vows, you should stick to your vows. And you coming out and saying your husband did this and your husband did that, I just kind of feel that's wrong, because it's for better or for worse. You know, the worst is coming now, and what you want to do outright is defend yourself and put him out there. Okay, fine. he must have done some things to you, but I feel that that should have remained private.
I don't think defending herself and putting somebody out there are the same thing. I think she should defend herself, but I don't think she should put somebody else under.
But she did that. She defended herself.
But how can you? That's what I'm saying. So how do you defend yourself and then protect that person? So it's almost like not speaking at all versus speaking.
Just don't speak at all. I honestly feel that she should have let that thing die. She would have had more respect, because in actual fact, if you go
to... So you don't think it was respectable for her to have done it the way she did?
No, I don't think it was at all. I think she should have just not said anything at all. And if she's going to come out, she just have said that, you know, my husband right now is going through a tough time. I'm just going to stand by him. And that would just be that and end it. Mm. I would have had more respect for her as opposed to her doing all this and knowing fully well this is someone just about to commit suicide because he's obviously going through manic depression. So why would you now put it out there just to save your brand? Obviously, now your brand is more important than the fact that, you know...
But her brand is paying those bills, child. And her brand, you know what I mean?
He's intertwined with that brand as well because he started that brand with you. So the brand is both of you guys' brand. It's just not you.
I think it's easier said than done. I don't know how she felt in that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, when you suddenly... I'm sure her
definitely impulsive.
No, I'm sure her phone must have been buzzing like crazy. Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure they must have been...
Google alerts.
No, I'm sure she must have had, like, a bunch of people saying, don't do this, and a bunch of people saying, don't do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, I think in chaos, maybe she should give herself time and maybe taking a week, like you said, to strategize and come back with a plan.
Yeah.
And maybe that would have served her better. Crisis management is a very complicated terrain. Mm-hmm. And maybe we don't have the same structures that American celebrities have, where they have a whole team behind them. And sometimes they take your phone from you, everything from you.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we're independent parties here. We're making our PR decisions. We're making our crisis decisions. We're making our everything decisions. And you make mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've been in positions where I've been sat on set and I'm like, what am I doing here? Why did I agree to this job? You know, and someone's taking the piss out of me and I'm the only one being able to speak for myself. And you allow yourself to be taken advantage of or otherwise.
So if you were to summarize, let me let you, you know, give some words. What would you say is the best way to be circumspect, and how do you sort of advise anyone to draw a healthy boundary line at work if you're not a celebrity, and then if you want to go into this public figure life, what are some things you should know?
I like the fact that you just mentioned, you know, being in Nigeria, and I think your cultural nuances are very important. You need to remember your environment, and just kind of just culturally speaking, like you said, even if you're not a celebrity, there's certain things that, you know, culturally you wouldn't or traditionally you just wouldn't do. They're frowned upon. You know what I mean? So you need to consider that, and you know, if you want to break against those boundaries, then, you know, that's on you. But generally I feel like, well, just understand the context of where you are, and respect that. And like Bemi said earlier, it's if you're not a celebrity, if you're not in the public arena, then I recommend that you have your account. If it's social media based, you have your account, your professional account, where, you know, you're giving us portraits and stuff. And then have your private account where you do what you do, when you want to do it, do that. I mean, even that for me, I'm just like, there's a limit to it, because once anything is on the internet,
it's never forever.
But, you know, that for me, that's just how I feel about it. Just have a healthy balance where you specifically respecting the people around you, because it's easy for you to put yourself out there. It's not as easy for them to get dragged into something they never signed up for.
Well, that's all we have time for in this segment. I'll be right back chopping it up with these ladies after the break, discussing the hot topic of the day.
Hi, guys. Please judge this matter. Does a couple have autonomous power to steer their relationship in the right direction without influence of family or culture? There are some things you never really figure out until you're on the other side of the fence. Here it goes. My husband and I both studied and worked abroad for 10 years before moving home. We dated on and off for 10 years with some long distance in between, and I didn't get acquainted much with my husband's family until I moved back. I'm 31 and he's 35 and we are both Yoruba. I've only been married for 3 months and I thought this was meant to be the honeymoon phase. But instead, I'm fraught with so many expectations from his side of the family. My mother-in-law is obsessed with her boys and wants me to call my brother-in-law, who is my age, uncle. One day, at a small gathering in her house, she called me to the kitchen after giving me a mild pinch and said, as the youngest wife in the family, she noticed I was calling my brother-in-law by his name and said that I cannot address him so loosely like that as a man in the family and that it is rude. I scratched my head in my head. at why I had to honor this king, but I maintained a poker face and told her I was sorry if she found it disrespectful and that I would do so from now on. I only said this because I wasn't trying to argue with her, but I'm livid. I particularly find this archaic and degrading. My family raised me very differently, and coming into marriage, I feel like I'm being corrected each step of the way, and everything I've learned isn't the right way to be in my house. My husband is usually supportive, but he's committed and loyal to his family, so I find his lack of spine on some issues a problem. I overheard him on the phone with his mom that evening, speaking to him on what she had told me. Much to my surprise, he said to his mother, "I will talk to her. He doesn't think it's a big deal. He will speak to me." I was fuming hearing this and too annoyed with him, as I personally expected support. I was extremely defensive and couldn't rationalize anything he was trying to say, especially since he knows the kind of person that I am. Why would he agree on my behalf? Is he being lazy and just avoiding getting into it with his mother? My mom is Igbo and married to a Yoruba family, and she feels I should stoop to conquer and that it won't kill me. Even though I was raised to be independent, my mom doesn't see this as a big deal and says different cultures have different expectations for a wife. She was instructed by my dad's family to cook for all the men in her husband's family for the first 3 months of her marriage. She felt it was the most ridiculous thing, but she did it. And even though she could cook well, she decided to make the blandest dishes, and after a month, the matter was put to rest. Would you call someone uncle who is your age for the sake of peace? Or should I stand my ground now to fence off any further shenanigans? How much are you willing to bend for something that you don't believe in? How long before they start to influence the church you go to, names you give your children, and the schools you place them in?
Well, welcome back, guys. You've heard that crazy story. I know some of you are livid already. I'm going to pass it on to one of my guests who isn't so keen on the whole marriage thing anyway. So, Bemi, what would you do in this situation? Would you call somebody uncle for the sake of peace?
No.
Okay, so what part of this story do you have?
I know, straight up.
Just to be direct, no. What part of this story do you have a problem with? When the husband says, "I'll talk to her." You know what I mean? Because obviously she doesn't know how deep this family is.
That's the first problem, because the husband-to-be should already know my stand on certain things. So the fact that he want to bring that to me already worries me. You know my answer is no. You're not going to make me look bad in front of your mom, because you're going to talk to me and you know I'm going to say no, and then you're going to go back to her and then I look bad. How about from the aunt and say, "Mom, why should that happen? How my woman is and she's not going to take it. So from now, let's diet." So for the fact that that guy is about to do that, so your mom obviously has some kind of control over you. I do not want to be with someone that doesn't have a mind of his own. I'm not going to call someone who's my mate uncle. I'm not from that school of thought. I've been brought up to respect my elders. I would always do that, but you're not my elder. And I know an uncle is someone that's elderly. So why am I going to call someone that's my mate uncle?
So I guess there's some cultural expectations that, or cultural nuances, whatever the word is, that people aren't aware of, or you don't become aware of until you just cross over.
Which culture is that?
I don't know. They're different. I don't want to make it tribal. Culture. Yeah.
Speak
for your culture, because you're not Nigerian. Right?
Yeah. So in my culture, it doesn't matter how old they are. Okay, even with in-laws. Okay. It doesn't matter how old they are. Basically, you call them, the translation is like little dad. And then even, I've got cousins who just got born. I call them uncle. For us, I guess it's not so uncomfortable. It's more about my father's sisters, sons, whatever, already, because it's my father's side, they're all my father's. And then because it's my mom's side, they're all my mother's. And then when you marry, you take on those same roles as well. So your brother-in-law is a father to you. So they're all fathers already.
So do you call them dad, or you just call them uncle?
You call them uncle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So uncle is a generic term, even if they're your age.
Or younger than you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is not an issue for you then. This is like,
Also depends how cool they are. Because some people would just be like, the uncle is more of a joke. Because the word is like Sekuru, be like, "What's up, Sekuru?" And they'll be like, "I'm Sekuru." It's a joke.
It's a joke.
But it's not like... But you do get families that are like, "She doesn't call me," especially these days, "she doesn't call me that." And that's a very big thing. So in my culture,
how do you respond to that?
How do I respond to people that demand it?
Because respect is earned, obviously.
Yeah. I just think that I'll pick my battles. For me, that's not one of the major battles that I pray. It's not one of my biggest battle in marriage. It's not going to be, we've got bigger issues to deal with. Do you know what I mean? So... if he wants to be called uncle, if he wants to be called big daddy, if he wants to be called whatever he wants to be called,
let's let him be called that.
I guess in marriage, for better or worse, that's the worst. Yeah. That's the worst. That's, well, I think in that situation, like you said, you choose your battles. Mm-hmm. If she's so pained by it, she should just try calling the guy uncle. She should just try calling him uncle.
Because would you be able to comfortably do it?
Because I guess I would. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying, you know, there's some people that mm-hmm. are my age that, as a joke, I call them uncle. So mm-hmm. I would say uncle, and if it depends mm-hmm. on the uncle that she's saying uncle to. If he's not like, please don't call me uncle. You're like, yeah. Well, such crisis averted. I just think when you don't, you should never kick against the rocks or whatever they say. Don't fight an unnecessary battle. Mm-hmm. Let the battle resolve itself for you. So mm-hmm. if I started calling you auntie, you'd be like, what are you doing? Like, please don't call me auntie. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, but mommy said you should call mm-hmm. me auntie. Then you'd be like,
don't do that.
Or you'd be like, all right, cool, call me auntie. Yeah. What's up? Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think like, she should not put so much of her heart in the matter because, mm-hmm. you know, it's not something to get so pained about. Mm-hmm. But I just hope that this isn't the beginning of so many other situations.
Which brings me to my next thing when do you start setting those boundaries? Because like you're saying, if you don't do it from the beginning, they already know your number.
Yep.
That this girl gets more Chris. You know what I mean? So let's not try her. And I feel like they do get away with certain things in the beginning, that is the beginning of, in our culture, you know, the father is the one that names the child.
Mm-hmm.
So would you be able to deal with like,
well, I think how long has she been married to the guy?
3 months.
It's early days. Come back in 2 years. Yeah. You know, if you still want to be married to him in 2 years, then I feel like there's some, you know, I know culturally there's some cultures that they believe in this really stoop to conquer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're dealing with generations that are really of that mindset, then you can stoop a little bit. But once you know you're in there,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm,
then like,
okay. So she can slow her, ease herself.
Not 3 months, or they're like, kick her out. Get rid of her. This is why my father got used to her anyway.
Yeah.
Let them love you.
Yeah.
You know what they say? Kill them with kindness. Be the number one wife.
Yeah.
They will say the wife. Yeah. Have you not seen this wife? She is the wife. If anything goes wrong, let's call our wife.
If you have the temperament for that.
Yeah.
But do you not feel like there's a limit to how much you bend before you lose yourself? Because if these aren't your values, you know, well, let me speak to that. If these aren't your values and you feel like you're being forced into it and you're actually losing yourself, because there's so much correction. No, they don't do it like this.
I can't afford to lose myself. I'm one person. I am completely true to who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do something simply to please a mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. It's just not, and to have to go out of character for it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even fake it, if it starts crossing lines like
you can't do your job mm-hmm. because they say, oh, you're not allowed to have that job.
If you open the door to that, then it does become okay, your kids can only go to a particular school because that's the school that all our children went to.
I just feel like if your mother-in-law mm-hmm. is dictating certain things from you from the jump, trust mm-hmm. me, she's going to be dictating to the end of that marriage because it will lead to the end of that marriage.
So do you think that you should battle your husband? Or would you have done what the girl did, which was say, okay, because she kind of did the whole...
Okay, no, I wouldn't,
you know what I mean? But
okay,
she wasn't going to do what she was going to do.
What would you say to the mom
when she told you that? You should call him uncle. Would you yes her to death and just do what you wanted to do anyway?
No, I'll tell her there and then I'm like, okay, sorry, I can't.
Okay.
I'm here for this reaction show. So what is she gonna say?
Oh, you cannot marry her. Why? Because I refuse to call someone my main uncle. Does that even make any sense?
Let's find out what our chicks in the streets had to say.
Culture Yoruba ni pe si wa ba fayawo ni odi keji ko ba soke okun ko ba se ile yibo ta ba fi le fe won wa si ile Yoruba. O gbọdọ respect awọn aburo oko, awọn egbon oko. E to ba kere si oko e, brother lagbaja. Junior to your husband. Brother lagbaja, oku kini kan. Idileke, idibebe, ibadi aran. O gbọdọ fun won ni respect be yen.
Do it wholeheartedly. You should love the family. That's how they are. In my own culture, we are just like the Jews. You respect everybody, not by calling names or eye service. you know, yeah, you respect people. And rather in my own family, the boy will respect the wife for being a wife, love her the way the husband respects her and love her in my own place. But if you decide to go to any culture, I will advise you as a daughter, if that's where God wants you to go, you have peace. You must give them peace by abiding by their own rule.
I think families here can be the end of marriages. And, I think that is...
In-laws are a huge percentage of...
I think in this culture, more than anything, you definitely marry the family.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there's no point saying, you know, like, okay, for better, for worse, because, you know, the worst might be that, like, the end. I've married into the end of my life.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I do think that you should observe the family.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the values of the family, I don't care what you say, they're the values of the son, because that is the son they raised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, so a lot of times with bigger issues, you know, which we don't even need to go into, that trick sometimes comes up in the son on things. Even all the schooling, they could have gone to China for they're not Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're Nigerian men, you know, and if they've been raised by typically Nigerian families, then they're typically Nigerian. All the chi-chi-chi ain't gone to the
house.
Demand to meet the family. Demand to know your mother-in-law. These are things that you should know before you even
before
say,
I do.
But I know, but then if you truly love somebody and you really
love him, there's no love,
you going to stop... You'd walk out of a marriage because the family was...
I wouldn't get to that point because I don't think, you know, I mean, what's love got to do with it at the end of the day?
Oh,
this is your life.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes the love goes, the love
it goes,
comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, are you going to love everybody every day the same way? No.
No.
So the days that you're not loving somebody and someone telling you, go and say someone to uncle, please...
If you're not loving your
family that day, your mind, you're like, I'm ready to step out.
Yes,
I'm ready to leave.
Exactly.
I don't want this.
Exactly.
You know, and then later you're like, I actually love him. You know, I mean, so that I'm saying, like, it's not every time that love is the forefront.
Yeah.
You have to think about, can you manage these values?
Yeah.
You know, I know
his
what I can.
Family value system, not just his.
I know what I can.
Yes.
I know what I can or cannot take. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in some ways I'm a traditionalist. You know, I grew up in Nigeria. I was in Warri. I was in Eku all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I had very liberal sort of grandparents, but I would still do the necessary uncle, auntie. I'm very happy if you want me to clear pace, I clear pace.
Yes,
do you understand?
Yeah.
Because
so you don't have
an ego. I know my position.
Yeah, yes.
I know where I rank in my family hierarchy. I am the young one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope my younger ones coming after me
when
clear
they come
my
after
place.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, so I'm not caught up on those little things. And but you know, if my mother-in-law said something to me that was really against my values as a human being. That, you know, that would make me feel like, this is immoral.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is wrong. Like,
this
is, then maybe I would have to question. But, you know, calling someone uncle in that moment, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Uncle John, would you like some wine?
My thing is also, I feel like we need to prepare ourselves for the change in behavior, lifestyle, culture when you move back.
Yeah.
Because the things we did there generally aren't the things you can
do
here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
There you probably move in together, you're sleeping over, you whatever. You can't be doing that. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like you also need to, like, I think, like Iku's saying, if before you get married, right, let's go home. Let's go to Nigeria. Let's spend Christmas in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, see the family. See how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
See your other sisters-in-law-to-be or whatever, the other wives, and see how they carry on. Are they happy? Are they not happy? Are they whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like Eku's saying, I'm cool. I'm as well. I can say uncle, big dad, whatever you need, right? It doesn't bother me.
So,
but somebody might see that and be like, oh my God, they call like young people
uncle.
I can't do it. Then you know.
So in Stooping to Conquer, and I want to come to you because you're definitely, I feel you should express yourself from the beginning. Do you think that it is not why, like people that keep quiet, how has keeping quiet ever really helped anybody? I get what you mean. Like there's a strategy of, play new wife.
Yeah.
But there are people who are
sweet
and kind
as
kind can come, and they are still bullied. So do you think that it is wise to confront and face your mother-in-law?
Yes.
Like argue, you know, go back and forth
with
her? Where does it become rude? How do you establish the respect factor without being rude? Because I think that sometimes saying no is rude.
Well, to be honest, before she even gets to that mother-in-law status, you guys should have establish some kind of relationship, I think mm-hmm. it's very important to get to know the woman you're going to call mother-in-law before mm-hmm. she actually becomes your mother-in-law. Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't like you, then you
mm-hmm. you dip that step. Decision.
I think mm-hmm. it depends how unreasonable the person is, because yeah. there's some personality clashes that will naturally happen, right? Mm-hmm. So your personalities with with the mother-in-law, you guys might just butt heads from the onset. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a good enough reason to then not marry into the family mm-hmm. or not, I think that if you can feel the personality clash is unreasonable mm-hmm. because it doesn't make her a bad person that you guys don't get on.
I can tell you that the fact that my mom didn't get along with her mother-in-law, well, it posed a lot of problems. I grew up seeing that, and my parents actually split up. So I think it's very, very important. There's some people that say that either I get along with my mother-in-law or she should be dead, to be honest. Yeah, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you do not want a mother-in-law that you don't get along with. Mm-hmm. How exactly do you want to have a happy home? Mm.
I think everything comes from love. Mm. If that mother-in-law really loves you, she'll take the time to embrace you and understand you.
It's as simple as that.
And she'll understand you. So
I have seen how my mom is with, her daughter-in-law, and she's fantastic. So she doesn't meddle. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do any of that.
She doesn't show up on the nails.
She doesn't do that. She minds her business.
That's all we have time for today, guys. You can join the conversation using the hashtag ChickChatLive. If you have a topic or a conversation you would like us to discuss, send us an email. Social media information is on the screen below. Until then, I will see you guys again next week on ChickChatLive. Bye-bye.
Bye.